on a Tuesday night? No better place to be. Just so you know, remember we have a church website, BibleBaptistChurchCambridge.com, and Brother Griffiths' messages that he has preached thus far are already on that website. And so you can already go on there and download them and listen to them. The one he's about to preach isn't there yet, but by tomorrow you can probably go listen to it again too. One of these days we'll get to the point where it's on there before he preaches it, and then we'll really be high tech. All right. No introductions needed. Brother Griffiths, come ahead, please.
Well, you folks don't waste any time. Either that or you think I'm long-winded. Let's hurry up and get him. Cut the songs back, two verses at the most. Get them ushers up there real quick. Let's get this proceedings over with in 15 minutes and get him in the pulpit so we can get home at a decent hour. Should I sing a song? I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let those storm clouds rage, those dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and none of earth shall ever harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear that call from heaven's portal. Come home, my child. It's the last mile you must ride. I like the way this says it. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let those storm clouds rage, those dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and none of earth shall ever harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Yes, I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Not half bad. Nope, not that song. Not in that key, anyway. Some people try to tell me when this life is o'er, when they lay me down to rest, there ain't gonna be no more. But I've made my preparations, I've also made the vow, and I'll be living in glory land 1,000,000 years from now. 1,000,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now. I'll be in my Father's care 1,000,000 years from now. One of these days I'm going to fall asleep. When you gather around me, don't you go and weep, cause what I sow I'll surely reap 1,000,000 years from now. Now don't you worry about tomorrow, just live right today. I don't care what others say, I'm gonna watch and pray. Now if you are not ready for that final vow, hell's gonna be an awful place a million years from now. A million years from now, a million years from now, I'll be in my Father's care a million years from now. One of these days I'm gonna fall asleep. When you gather around me, don't you go and weep, cause what I sow I'll surely reap a million years from now. All right. I always worry about that last note. And I hit it all right. Not bad. All right, let's take care of our visitors tonight. You guys, you ushers, got your knives ready? Carve up a few visitors. I know we got one in here in the front row. He's already surrounded by two of the baddest boys in town. Who are you going to call when the law comes after you, bad boys, bad boys? All right, if you brought a visitor tonight, if you're guilty of bringing a visitor tonight, stand to your feet. Oh, only one? All right. I got a pin in here somewhere. Give me your name again, son. Eric. And you brought one. But he's not a first-timer, right? Okay. Now remember, anyone who hasn't been here, if you bring a visitor tomorrow night and they hadn't been here at all since Sunday, hadn't been here at all Sunday, Monday, tonight, they will count as a visitor tomorrow. They might be a member of the church here, but if they hadn't been here at all for the revival meeting, you bring them tomorrow night, we'll count them as a one-point visitor. And anybody who hasn't, and anybody you bring a first-time visitor or been here in a long time, they will count as a two-point visitor. What's going on back here? Oh, man. That's Jay, right? Two. Are they first-time visitors? Okay. All right. Well, Brother Jay, you jumped into a four-way tie with Tanner and John and Alexis. And then Tom and Eric, you're just a point behind. So keep up the good work. All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Had a good day with the preacher. We went up to Canton. Got a job at Firestone. Thought we'd be legitimate for a change. Went to Canton. saw the Christian Hall of Fame. And I saw Brother Leithley's picture on the wall. But it was in the post office on the most wanted. We had a good time. Good time of fellowship. Just kind of visiting with one another. You know, folks, you need to pray for him. He needs your prayers desperately. He is a compulsive liar. Lie like a rug and a dog on it. And it's not a new problem with him. It really isn't a new problem with him. He's had this problem since he was a child. In fact, it was so bad that his mom and dad were so concerned, they went to a preacher and said, "You've got to help us. Steve is just he lies about everything. Exaggerates, bloviates, the whole nine yards, just stretches the truth and lies. Just doesn't know the difference." And you knew that George Washington couldn't tell a lie. And George Washington couldn't tell a lie. And Richard Nixon couldn't tell the truth. And Bill Clinton doesn't know the difference. But Brother Leithley and it really tore his folks up. They come crying, "Please help us." And he said, "Well, maybe I can help him by, you know, help him with absurdity by being absurd and just told him this. I'll just tell him a big old whopper and see what he thinks." So one day he's coming to the church and the preacher says, "Hey, Stevie, come here. I'll tell you something." He told him this story. He said, "Yeah. What do you want to tell me, preacher?" So the other day when I was, the other day before you folks started coming here, we were in church and this big old brown grizzly bear come busting through the back door. Rawr, killed the ushers. They back there trying to stop him. Rawr, and ate him up. And As he'd come down the center aisle, he'd grab one person and ate him up and grab one person and ate him. And hearing everybody, people couldn't get out. And the bear was just, and all of a sudden, this little bitty chihuahua dog. Barking in, grabbed him by the throat, wrestled that bear to the ground, swung him around a few times, got him down on the ground and killed him. Stood on top of the bear, back of that big old black bear that was 100 times bigger than he was, and just, yip, 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 yip. What do you think of that story? That's kind of absurd. He said, oh, no, sir, I believe it because that was my dog. He even took someone else's lie and made it his own. All right, we'll try to be as long as we possibly can tonight. Romans chapter 1. Let's begin reading with verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now, that's my text for tonight, but I want to read it again, and then we'll read a little bit more. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use, that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now I want you to skip over to chapter 2 and look at verse 14, and then we'll have a word of prayer. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Father in heaven, without you I can do nothing. How desperately we are in need of your presence tonight. Thank you for the good song, the singing and the songs that we heard tonight, and the opportunities to be around our friends and be refreshed in spirit with fellowship. But Lord, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll take this unworthy servant tonight, that which is real and genuine in his heart, that which, Father, you could take and use, as small and insignificant as it might be, you can take it and break it and use it tonight. Lord, here's my basket. You don't have to ask it. As small and insignificant as the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes were, Father, yet you took it and broke it and blessed it, fed a multitude. And as seemingly small and insignificant as that which is real and genuine in my heart might be tonight, I pray that you'll take it and bless it and break it. May the order fill this house with your presence. I love you tonight, Lord. Can't do this without you. Don't even seek and desire to do it without you. So make your presence known. In Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen. If you notice in this passage of Scripture, there's a number of places. Verse 18, which we did not read, says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." That is a natural thing. Verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Verse 26 said, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." And verse 27 also says, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman." Now that's an entirely different, what he's talking about in specific here is not what we're going to be preaching on tonight. But I wanted you to notice the, the use of the word nature and creation and natural over in verse 14, chapter 2. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law. One thing I want to do for us tonight, folks, and God has impressed this passage of Scripture on my heart so much in the last few years, where Peter tells the people he's writing to in 2 Peter, he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and glory of His coming, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." But I like what he says, and I quote this verse of Scripture often to the young people and to the folks that come down to Camp Victory, and I use it often when I get to get out and preach to people. What we've been called on to believe tonight is not a fable. We've not been called upon. Now, I know that it takes faith. But one of the things that I really genuinely believe tonight about our faith in an eternal God and our faith in what He has said and believing it to be true, one of the things I do believe tonight is He honors our faith. He honors our faith by giving us the reality of it after a while. It ceases to be a blind faith. It ceases to be something. Listen, folks, you who have been saved for a while, you're not blindly following the Lord. You're not stumbling around out there. You have become convinced of some things tonight. Paul said, "I would be remiss." He said, "I would be negligent. Though you know these things and be established in the present truth." He said, "You know these things." And there are some people, listen, I've been saved for 48 years. It'll be 49 years this coming fall. I'm not the oldest man here, but I've been saved a while. There's some things I just believe. And I don't just believe them, but I am convinced of them. It's not a question. Now, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. We walk not by sight, but by faith. The Bible tells us, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. And any time Jesus Christ rebuked His disciples, it was because of their faithlessness. "O ye of little faith," he would say. What we need tonight is to have more faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But may I remind you tonight, may I say it one more time. Listen, because I know something, that I'm convinced of something. Paul said this, "I am persuaded that neither height nor depth nor things present nor things to come." He said, "For I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed." You know what I'm trying to say to you? I'm trying to tell you there are some things tonight I just know. There are some things tonight that I don't have to be convinced in anymore. There are some things tonight that have sent root down deep, and it bears fruit upward. There are some things that it has ceased, listen to me, it has ceased to be faith on my part to believe it. I know it's true. I know in whom I have believed. And that's past tense. I know in whom I have believed. He told the church at Philippi, trying to convince them of something, being confident in this very thing, that he which began a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you know where we get the word confident? We get it from the Latin word confideo. I like that. I throw that out there every now and then. Just let people know that I read once in a while too. We get the word confident, the English word confident, from the Latin word confideo, which means in God. Deo, confideo, in God. He says, being confideo, in God, that He which began the good work. You know, there's just some things tonight I know. There's some things tonight that I'm convinced in. There's some things tonight, and I tell young people and I tell folks, listen, you've not been called upon to believe cunningly devised fable. A group of men didn't sit in a room somewhere and try to figure out how they were going to put the pieces together. They preached and proclaimed something they knew was right. Something they knew was real. You know, what man, if he knew? You know one of the reasons why I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? One of the reasons why I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is the silence of Mary. If there was anybody who knew that her son was virgin born, it was her. And when that mother, who was like all other mothers, saw her firstborn child being brutally treated, don't you think she'd have jumped up and said, "Hey, wait a minute! It's all been a sham. It's all been a lie." But no, her silence spoke volumes. Her silence was like thunder down through the ages. She knew He was God tonight. Her silence spoke volumes. Her silence was deafening tonight. She watched them treat her son. All because she knew that he which was conceived in her was conceived by the Holy Ghost. She knew it was true. She knew it true. And what disciple, all of the disciples except John the Beloved, gave their lives a martyr's death. Peter was crucified upside down. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified on what? On a cross, on an X, and they called it St. Andrew's Cross. All of them suffered. One man was stabbed. Another man was beheaded. All down through the line, people gave their lives. They didn't give, listen to me, folks, they did not give their lives for something they thought was that they knew in their hearts was a falsehood. They gave their lives for something they knew was a truth. And listen to me, young people. The devil's going to attack your faith. Listen to me, church member. Listen to me, mom and dad. The devil will attack your faith. He will try to put doubts and cast aspersions in your mind and get you shaken and get you doubting, get you disbelieving. May I remind you one more time? Praise God. We've not been called to believe cunningly devised fables, but we have people who are eyewitnesses. There are some things tonight I know is real. I know it's real tonight. My text tonight says this, because that which may be known of God, is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And I want to preach for the next few moments on why I know there is a God. Why I know there is a God. Why I know there is a God. First of all, I believe that I know there is a God because of what this verse of Scripture tells me. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. All those usages of the word nature and natural and creation. Paul was making a point here in verse 19. He said, even you have an intuition. Naturally, you know there is a God tonight. Naturally, you know, as the Gentiles who have not the law. Listen, the Ten Commandments were not given to the Greeks, was not given to the Romans, it was given to the Jew. But yet the Bible says, written on their hearts, they knew it was wrong to kill. That's pretty good preaching. Hate to pat myself on the back, but that's okay. I'll pat me on the back and smack you on the face. How's that? He said, they know by nature that it was wrong to steal. They knew by nature. Why? God hath written that kind of knowledge on the heart of all men. The book of Job says, He hath put in all of us knowledge of the ages. Knowledge of the cosmos. There's knowledge out there, folks, that God has deliberately, intuitively placed inside of every one of us. I know there is a God tonight because my heart says He's real. The psalmist said the fool has said in his heart. You know that's the only place you can deny God? And that's the place that it was written in your heart to know Him. Now I'm not going to go, you know, way back inside the womb and that little seed. But I believe in the process of them putting put together and all that DNA being formed and that new life created and that new life beginning there, God instilled upon that DNA and inside that new viable living being a knowledge that there is a God tonight. And somewhere through the course of time, when they become self-aware and become aware of their surroundings and become more mature, they begin to know that there's someone greater than themselves. I believe that tonight. I don't believe there's a person alive who does not have inside of them an intuition that tells them there is a God. You say, what about the atheist? He's denying genuine, in the heart, truth that there is a God. He has said in his heart, there is no God. You know why the Muslims are willing to fly planes into buildings? Because of something they believe in. You can't go anywhere on this planet. You can't go anywhere on this planet. Even if they've never seen a white man. Even if they've never heard even of the United States, let alone Jesus Christ. you will find people worshiping something, because everybody was created with an innate desire to know God, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God, hallelujah, has showed it unto them tonight. I know there is a God tonight. I don't know if I made this statement here, but 2 weeks after 9/11, they allowed those Muslim clerics to come in out there in California and preach the Quran and teach the Quran to those kids so they'd have a better understanding of Islam. And I thought to myself, when I heard that on the radio, I thought, why don't they invite me into the public school system? I go in there, I won't strap a bomb to myself. I won't make my wife strap a bomb to herself. I might make my kids strap a bomb to themselves. There's a few times I'd like to see if they blowed up real good. But I wouldn't do that. I'd go in there declaring to them the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Listen to me. You know why they kicked his nativity scene off the courthouse law? You know why they've taken his Ten Commandments off the courthouse wall? You know why there's talk about taking off the coin, "In God We Trust"? Because they know from their heart that he's real. Listen, it's not the false gods. Look at me, kids. It's not the false God that makes the world tremble. It's the real God that put his image and put his knowledge in the heart of all of us. That's what makes them tremble. That's what they know. That's what they're rebelling against. They don't want separation of church and state. They want separation of Jesus Christ and state. And they're going against natural, innate knowledge that there is a God. Everyone in this room right now, everyone in this room, no matter how cold your heart might be, you know in your heart of hearts that there is a God. And you know that when the gospel, you know, one of the things I love about Jesus, John the Beloved said, "This is the light that lighteth all men that come into the world." This is the light. I'm not the light, John said, but Jesus is the light that did what? That lighteth all men that come into the world, to the place that John or Paul wrote many years later, so that they are without excuse. No one can stand at the great white throne and say, "I did not know." God says, "Yes, you knew. I put it on your hard drive. You know that I'm real. You know that I'm eternal. I wrote it in your heart. I stamped my image upon your soul. I made you to want to know me." No one's going to leave this world and stand before God and say, "I didn't know." So that they are without, even the invisible things of his creation are clearly seen, so that they are without excuse. You know, you have no excuse tonight. You have no excuse. The atheist said, Gloria Steinem, She's lived way too long. She's lived way too long. Even Gloria Steinem has gone against a natural, innate knowledge that there is a God. She knows from her heart, everyone, all of us, Osama bin Laden, though he may be following Allah, and though he may be following the Quran, he knows in his heart he's gone against a natural inclination to want to know Jesus tonight. Praise God, kids. You have not been called on to believe some cunningly devised fable, but you have been called upon to believe a reality that God is real tonight. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. You know why I believe there is a God tonight? Because I have something inside of me that says he's real. Can I just, for a few moments, I'll get to the rest of my message. There's a part of me when I get alone with the Lord, and I get in, his presence fills the room where I'm at when I'm alone and I'm on my face before him. There's been times his presence has been so real that I've puckered my lip to kiss his feet. I've reached out my hands to feel them with the ankles of the Almighty. What does that? God has placed in us all a natural, innate desire to know God today. There's a part of me that wants to know him, that wants to come in contact with the Almighty, that wants to reach out and touch him and become one with him. Thank God tonight God created me, as insignificant as I am tonight, to know Him. To know Him. He wants us to know Him. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now this may not sound like Chuck Swindoll or Joel Osteen, but I bet you any money Joel Osteen couldn't stir this crowd. Amen. I bet you any money. Pardon me. I want to say something that's going to sound off the wall. But if there's anybody sitting in that church where Joel Osteen preaches that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, give me a week with them. We'll find out who they are. Amen. We'll find out who they are, because I've come in contact with immortality. I've come in contact with deity. It took place at an old-fashioned altar 48 years ago. A little 8-year-old boy who didn't know an apostle from an epistle one day asked this God who cried out in my heart to know Him. And He stepped inside and said, here's what you've been searching for all your life. I had an itch I couldn't scratch. I had a longing I could not fulfill. And you look at me, Christians. You'll try to fill that longing with everything in the world. Even you as a Christian, you'll try to fulfill that longing with everything in the world. Never be completely, totally satisfied until you allow Him who can only fill that void in your heart tonight. He made it, as you've heard said before, He placed inside of all of us a God-shaped vacuum that only He can fill. You can't fill it with sin. You can't fill it with immorality. You can't fill it with fame and fortune. Fill it with popularity. You can't fill it with song and wine. You can only have it filled by coming in contact with Him. And He has made the way through His Son, the light that lighteth all men that cometh into the world. I'm having fun. Pardon me as I, amen, Brother Griffiths, that's not half bad. What are you trying to say tonight? I know there is a God tonight, sir. Like you know there is a God tonight. Because there's something inside of me that tells me He is real. I have a natural, as God wrote the law upon the hearts of all men to know that it is wrong to kill and to commit murder and commit adultery and to steal and all those other things, He has placed in us all a knowledge of Him. Because that which may be known of Him is manifest in them. God has showed it unto them. Oh, there's a God tonight because of intuition. There's a second reason why I know there is a God tonight. Because of creation. For the creation of the Bible says here in our it says, for the invisible things of Him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If there's anything I like to do in the quiet moments of my of study, in the quiet moments of by myself, is I like to get my telescope out. And had one given to me quite anonymously. I didn't know who gave it to me. I remember one time making a statement. I had a little pair of binoculars. And they're a decent pair of binoculars. But they're not for looking into space. Heard about a total eclipse of the moon. It's one here just recently, but another one back a few years ago. Only problem was it was going to occur at 2 o'clock in the morning. But I like that kind of stuff. So I got my car, pulled it down in my driveway. My driveway, you have to drive up it and pull it down. The moon comes across that way and the sun comes across that way. So I pulled it down so I could sit on the hood of my car with my back against the windshield with a pillow and a pillow up here around my head. And I can watch it without having to raise my head. I got out there about 2 or 3 minutes before 2 o'clock in the morning. Only a nut like me would do this. I sit there and all of a sudden I begin to see that little shadow begin to form on that lower left-hand corner of the moon as the shadow of the earth began to block it out. And I sit there and watch that. As cold as it was that night, I sit there and watch that and begin to be warmed in my soul as I saw how God made this universe more definite and more intricate than a Swiss watch. How that everything works together in its place. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. I want to tell you, I know there is a God tonight. First of all, and second of all, because this stuff just did not happen, praise God. something this intricate and something this complicated just didn't happen. Carl Sagan says, billions and billions and billions of years ago. I wrote in the margin of my Bible, the atheists and the unbelievers need billions of years. All we need is God. In fact, he could have done it in 6 seconds if he wanted to, but he chose to do it in 6 days. And he didn't rest on the seventh because he was tired. If he was tired, then he's just no different than you and me. He spoke it into existence. The Bible says we believe that the heavens were spoken into existence by the Word of God. Folks, I want to tell you, as I look at the intricacy of creation, I praise God. I know Him who flung them into space. For the invisible things of His creation are clearly seen. I know there is a God because of creation. You know the eye? Something as complicated as the eye just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. Something that is, you know, the best computer they have is slow compared to the mind. And they want to tell me this. Now, I like those Discovery Channel programs where walking with dinosaurs. Now, I like that kind of stuff. You know, I like fiction. I do. I like fiction. You say, don't you believe in dinosaurs? Yes, I do. But I don't believe they were 65 billion years ago or 60 billion years ago. I believe, this is one of the reasons why I believe there's none in existence today, is those that survived the flood that were on the ark, they were killed by a man. Amen. Down there in Texas, they found that dried up riverbed. And they found that dinosaur with the footprint of a man right in the middle of it. And the atheists and the unbelievers want to say that dinosaurs and man evolved at two separate great eons apart from one another. The dinosaurs became extinct and then mammals came upon the scene. No, no, no. God spoke it all into existence. God created it all in 6 days. You say, that sounds so foolish. You're foolish not to believe it. You're the ones believing the fable. I believe God. You know, how you handle Genesis 1:1 determines how you handle the rest of the Bible. Did you hear that, young people? How you handle, what does Genesis 1:1 say? No, I thought it was something she shows that. In, stand up here, son. Say it real loud. Right. You know, if you believe that, you won't have a problem with the fact that Jesus could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 20,000 people. If you believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, you won't have any problem that Jesus walked upon the water. You'll have no problem that he stood outside Lazarus' tomb, told him to roll the stone away, lifted up his hands, lifted up his voice, and said, Lazarus, come forth. And have you not heard the reason why he called specifically? Because he said, come forth. Everybody would have come forth that had died since Adam. Adam would have woke up and said, what did you do that for? I was sleeping so good. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, I believe in a God who can do anything He wants to. If in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then He can create a fish big enough to swallow a man. Amen. If in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, He can hope that when He bleached, lying in an uncovered grave, and inside of there, the dead, it comes alive. I just believe it. You say, are you one of those literalists?
There you go.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be so dumb. What are you trying to say, Brother Bruce? I'm trying to tell you there is a God in heaven who the universe, this they say, the song says, he's big enough to fill the mighty universe. No, the universe is not big enough to fill Him. He created it all. You know, if he created it, this is too cool for Sunday school. Pardon me. Just going to sit down. Show you how stupid I am. I'm reading my Bible one night. Ain't that dumb? I think I'll be the dumbest thing for a man to just read his Bible. And I like reading my Bible and then going to pray. And I was reading my Bible one night, and the Bible says in Psalm 89, the north and the south, thou hast created them. Now, every word of the Lord is pure. You believe that Every one of them, every one of those words is supposed to be there. Now, if you believe that, you might think like me. I'm having fun. He's had me in that van and walk around seeing all those dead preachers and stuff. And I was glad to get out where it's alive. I went to bed, went to my devotion about 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm reading, the north and the south thou hast created them. Tamar and Hermon are met in thee. Tamar and Hermon is where the sun rises and the sun sets. That's just another way of saying east and west is met in thee. This little old retarded preacher, lathered up. See, anybody that preaches loud can't be intelligent. You know, I've got to, in order to impress you with my intelligence, now dearly beloved, if you're not going to sleep, then I must not be very intelligent. I'm having fun. But this old hillbilly preacher boy, read that. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tamar and Hermon are met in thee. The east and the west meet in thee. So I go to pray. And while I'm praying, that verse of Scripture is turning around in my head. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tamar and Hermon are met in thee. And all of a sudden I got to shouting. You know why it doesn't say the east and the west thou hast created them? I can start walking north and eventually start walking south. I can walk south long enough and start walking north. But I can't do that east and west. I have to turn around to go in the opposite direction. I can walk west for a gazillion years and never start walking east. I'd have to turn around and start going east in order to go that. So here's this dumb hillbilly. Loud. See, anybody that sweats can't be intelligent. Ruins. I go to the cleaner and I have my shirts pressed. My wife doesn't do it. I take them to the cleaners. Starched them out real good so that I could be first class looking. Because at least I look good until the service starts. Then I ruin the starch. And I ruin my hair. Collar. I don't wear dark collared shirts very much anymore because I sweat so much you see the sweat gathering around here. So I wear light colored shirts so that covers up the sweat. Amen. Aren't I smart? Y'all think, boy, he's an intelligent man. This dumb hillbilly, didn't read it out of a commentary somewhere, got to shouting. The east and the west, that is to say he created them. It says they're met in him. And all of a sudden I got to pray and I said, Lord, the east and the west must be part of you. The east and the west, because he created has a beginning and will have an end. But if it's east and west, it's infinite. If it is infinite, it must be part of him. It must be part of you. And I got to praising God, and I said, praise the Lord, you've lost my sins in you. Hallelujah, you lost my sins in you. You've cast them as far as the east is from the west. And they sang that song, he's big enough to fill the mighty universe. No, folks, the universe, if it's infinite, is part of God. If it was created, it has limitations. And I was watching. See, I couldn't sleep one night. I was in a revival meeting in Mooresville, Indiana. Couldn't sleep, going through some deep water. I mean deep, troubling, heartbreaking, soul-wrenching trouble. The place I couldn't sleep. Depressed, discouraged, and preaching in a revival meeting. Can you imagine that? And I'm preaching this, couldn't sleep. My brother's asleep in the other bed. He come up to be special music for me in this meeting in Mooresville. I'm sitting on the edge of my bed. I'd prayed. I'd wept. I'd laid there and wept. Oh, God. Oh, God. So I got to, see, you know, God, I hate to say, you know, God loves me as much as he loves Joel Osteen. Isn't that amazing? That blows my mind. So I sit up. Now, he works all things together for good, and nothing takes him by surprise. Now, you'll like this. Nothing takes him by surprise. I turned the TV set on. Say, that's so carnal. No, the Bible says he maketh even the wrath of man to praise him. And I didn't turn it to TBN because every now and then there's something decent on there. It's kind of warm your heart. I put it on the Discovery Channel. And they had some harebrain on there. You know, these fellows are so smart. Why can't they comb their hair? I mean, his hair was all over the place. And he had this kind of glassy look, huh? Big old thick glasses. And he said, we have discovered that the universe is expanding. Now, see, I've been told all my life that the universe is infinite. Did you know since they put the Hubble telescope into space, that telescope, according to them, can see 2 billion light years off into the distance? The closest star is Alpha Centauri, and it is 4 light years, and the light travels in a year 2.9 trillion miles. So do the math. And our universe, in one direction, is 2 billion light years. You can turn around that way, and it's 2 billion light years that way. When David said, when I see the sun, moon, and the stars, the works of thy hands, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What would he have said if he looked through the Hubble telescope? If what he could see with the naked eye blew his mind, what would he see when he saw galaxies innumerable as the sands of the seas in a vast, glorious universe? Why had it taken his breath away? And this guy with his hair going like that, big old thick horn-rim glasses, shirt tail, collar up like that, tie over here like this. Look like he's been on a binge, good and drunk. He drunk on something other than wine. He drunk on stupidity. And he made this statement. He said, and here's his brokenhearted. Listen, God loves you, son. You make it the wrath of man to praise him. There was a broken-hearted 40-something-year-old man thinking his life was coming to an end, his ministry and everything was coming to an end. And all of a sudden, he takes his harebrain and don't know his head from a hole in the ground to encourage a broken-hearted preacher sitting on the edge of his bed in Mooresville, Indiana at 3 o'clock in the morning. We have discovered, we have ascertained the fact that the universe is expanding. And he said, in order to put it into layman's terms, it's like taking a balloon and blowing it up. You know, anybody that thinks someone else is dumb is not that smart. You know, if you feel like you have to condescend to people to talk to them, you're not that smart. I says, well, I can't understand the King James Bible. Did you know that the King James Bible is written on a fifth grade level? That's a pretty good show. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? I'm having fun. The universe is expanding like a man would blow up a balloon. All of a sudden, my heart got revived. Dumb, stupid stuff. But he maketh the wrath of man to praise him. Broken-hearted, troubled servant of his, sitting in a dark room with just the light and the flicker of a television set, harebrained talking, it just expanded like a balloon. And tears started running down my face, and my heart got to leaping, and I got to shouting. God is my witness. I'm going, woke my brother up. He sat up in bed like somebody had shot him. What's the matter, George? I said, this guy here said that the universe is expanding. And I've got one question. If it's expanding, what's it expanding in? Don't look at me like a downtown hailstorm. If it's expanding, then what's it expanding in? If the universe is not infinite, it has to be expanding in infiniteness. And the harebrained says, We have mapped the sun. We have mapped the known galaxies and found that there are literally billions of galaxies. And he says, we've mapped them, and here is a computer model of the galaxies of the universe. Have you ever seen a DNA ladder? Have you seen one of those? The DNA model? I got somebody's attention. I'm sitting there, tears running down my face. Holy Ghost come in and said, you're all right, son. I've got a God who's bigger than the universe. And when they showed me the map of all, how they mapped the computer map of the galaxies, you know what it looked like? A DNA ladder. And I thought, and God said to me, you're looking at my DNA, son. I'm so big, I measure the universe with the span of my hands. I scoop out the mountains. I push up the mountains with the palm of my hand and scoop out the rivers with my fingers. I want you to know, son, I know exactly where you are. I know exactly the heartache you're going through. And I'm bigger than all of them. Amen. And how did he do that? Creation. For the invisible things of his creation are clearly seen. That lunar eclipse, let me know there is a God. That DNA, that map of the galaxies of the universe that look like a DNA ladder, just let me know that God's bigger than any problem I've got. And if the universe is expanding, it has to be expanding in God. So when he says, though, as when David said in that psalm, he said, if I ascend to the highest mountain, thou art there. If I descend down to the lowest depths of hell, thou art there. If I can take the wings of an eagle and fly away and wander up into the wilderness and be no more, thou art there. I know there is a God tonight, because I've stood out on the front porch and I've looked at His handiwork, and it's whispered back to me, I'm real. I am real. I know there's a God tonight because of intuition. There's something inside of me that tells me He's real. I know there is a God because of the outward stuff, creation. Second of all, I know there is a God tonight because of inspiration. Look at this, kids. This is going to sound trite. I know, coming from me, it's going to sound trite and trivial. It's going to sound uneducated. But they've had 2 years, they've had 2,000 years to discredit this book. And where are the critics tonight? They've been discredited, and the Word of God still stands. This book was written on three different continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe, in three different languages, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. It was written over a span of 1,600 years by 39 to 40 different men. And there's not one mistake in it at all. And his son came along one day and said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. You might burn its followers at the stake. You might decapitate its followers on the chopping block. You may stab them and gut them and feed them to wild beasts, but I want you to know the Word of God is forever settled in the heavens. You can't destroy it because it's already there. And I know there is a God tonight because I've said, and this book has breathed peace and solace to my troubled soul. Oh, I can't go into detail. But you who have found peace and solace for your troubled soul by reading this, by reading the hallowed pages, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of His divine nature. The word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And Job said, in the midst of his ash heap of trouble, he said, I esteem His word more than my necessary food. When nothing else is working, the Word of God will work every time. And I know there is a God tonight because that book is supernatural. It is super. It's not faith. It's not faith anymore, son. My problem is obeying it. The idea that it's settled in my heart has been settled. I'm nobody special. That is the Word of God. And the devil doesn't get me to doubt it. gets me reading it and applying it. There's my great trouble. There's where I get in trouble with the Lord. There's where I get in trouble with my flesh. There's where I get in trouble with the things of this world. It's when I don't take a supernatural book called the Word of God and let it speak to my troubled soul. I have found that the Word of God is exactly true, without error, without fault. And in the darkest moments of my heartaches and sorrows, I have picked up the pages, and I have read it, and watched it speak peace to my troubled soul. It's the Word of God. And I know there is a God tonight because of that supernatural book you have on your lap tonight. You can't destroy it. Critics can't destroy it. Empires can't run it out. It's still going to stand because it is supernatural. God wrote it. God put it together. You can't have what I just said to you, three different languages, three different continents, over 15 to 1600 years by 39 to 40 different people. If that was put together by human beings, there would be a truckload of mistakes in the pages of the Word of God. But they were not the writers. They were just the penmans. God gave the Word. God gave the Word, and great was the host of them that published it. It is a supernatural book. And as I said before, how come they allow the Quran in, but they kick the Bible out? It's because they know in their heart it is the Word of God. It's the fourth reason why I know there is a God tonight. And that's supplication. I want to know who's answering my prayers. You know, if he was just answering my prayers, I'd say, what a coincidence. But he's not just answering my prayers. There are literally millions and millions of people bombarding the throne of grace and getting their prayers answered. Watching God move heaven and earth so that he might step in and do what he has been requested to do. Delight thyself also in the Lord. I love this verse of Scripture. He will give you the desires of your heart. You just fall in love with him, and he'll move heaven and earth to give you what you want. Give you what you want. What I want, yes. I'm not a health and wealth preacher. But I've learned this much about getting stuff from God. Really, he'll give you anything you want if he knows he'll get the glory for it. And you know what else I've learned about getting things from the Lord? He'll give you anything you want as long as he knows it. You are a conduit. It flows through you. I think I said something Sunday. Have you ever been asked the question, what would you do with $1 million? I know what I'd do with it. I've already done it. He didn't give it to me all at one time. $50 here. I had one person give me $20,000. That's a pretty good gift. Went out and bought me a brand new condo. You know what I did with it? Your kids, when they come to camp, swim in it. The single biggest expense for any week of camp is the groceries. We don't just give them hot dogs and peanut butter and bologna sandwiches. They get fed. They get fed. What would you do with $1 million, Brother Griffiths, if someone gave you $1 million? I'd spend it. I'd spend it faster than you can say Jack Robinson. You want to write me a check for $1 million? I'll have it spent by next Monday. My wife has called me. She's the compulsive obsessive in our family. Everything's got to be just like. I let her keep the checkbook. I don't care. I've had fellows say to me, bless God, that's not very masculine. I know who I am. I know where she keeps her purse. My wife's opinion, listen to me, my wife's opinion is more valuable to me than anyone else's. But there's times I've looked at her and said, this is not up to debate, honey. Give me the checkbook. We're going to go do this. It's not a debate. This is not up for debate. Most of the time it is. I don't care. You say, why are you saying, I know who I am. I'm secure in who I am. Don't bother me. She pays the bills. You know what I'll do when I get home a week from tomorrow? It'll be late Wednesday night next week. I'll come in, give her the love offering checks, and say, here, go pay the bills. Okay. She likes doing that kind of stuff. You know she keeps camp records? If I'm going to jail, it's because of my wife. She just puts everything in order. You know what I'm trying to say to you? She called me one night. God is my witness. She called me one night. She's all in tears. Hey, George, we need $3,000. And I told her, I says, I'm just talking to you now because I'm letting you know how I know there is a God. The only credit card I have, well, I got two of them in here. Both of them are maxed out. My Belk's card, it's a 30, 60, 90 card. You know, we don't have to pay any interest if it's paid off in 90 days. Amen? And my Shell card, I haven't been able to use it for 2 weeks. I don't have any other kind of... I have a Speedy Rewards card. And I have a Kroger discount card. Isn't that wonderful? And I have a Blockbuster video card. And I have AAA. Isn't that wonderful? And it's good through next year. What a blessing. And I have 28 bucks. I'm walking in tall clover tonight. She called me one night and says, we need $3,000. And I told her, I said, you know what I've learned? I've learned that the easiest thing to get from God is money. He owns it all. God... There are some things, folks. I'm trying to get to my last point. You folks won't let me. I'm just so glad that there is a God. Isn't it wonderful to know that there is a God and He loves you? And He's as real as your next breath. He's more real than your next breath because you might not get a next breath. But the last one you breathe, you'll wake up in His presence. Amen. Glory is right. If it's inanimate, you can do it just like that. 2 week tent revival in Pine Island. I have a propensity taking short stories and make them real long. I'm in a revival meeting in Pine Island, Florida. 2 weeks. Guys want to start a church, so we have nobody back in the meeting. And so if I was going to have anybody preach at, Brother McCullum and I was going to have anybody preach at, we had to go knocking on doors. We'd have average 40 people. A couple of nights we had 70. These were all people coming in. And we had a bunch of fishermen come in. Guys were going out fishing. The weather was bad. It was so bad that when the meeting started that night, flaps of that tent were going like this. The rain was beating down on the thing. And you could, if these ladies had sung tonight down there, you wouldn't have heard them. They'd look like, it looked like Billy Manilli. Just mouthing it, you know. Couldn't have heard them. Brother McCullum gets up and he holds the microphone. It's an 80-something-year-old man, holds the microphone, tries to give the announcement so he could take up the offering. I'm sitting there on the front row, and the Lord said to me, go on the limb for me. Now the Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly. When He talks, you know exactly what He's talking about. Know exactly what He's talking about. His will is not a mystery. When He speaks, you know exactly what He's talking about. So when I hear Him say to me, I'm sitting on the front row, can't hear things. There's a half a dozen fishermen there that had been drinking just a few hours before we saw them, got them to come to the tent meeting that night because they couldn't go out in the Gulf to fish. It's too stormy. And they were lost as a goose. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, they're not going to hear a word I say tonight. This is going to be an exercise in futility. And I fought that. And He who made the universe sat down next to me and said, go out on a limb for me. What if you don't do it, Lord? You know what He wanted me to do? He wanted me to go to the platform and tell Him, the Lord's asked me to pray that the wind and the rain stop falling. You know, he argued with me three times, and I told him three times no, because I didn't want to be made a fool of. The winds and the waves are inanimate. They have no will. When he says, shut up, they stop. Finally, I said, all right. Brother McCollum calls me to the platform. I get up there, take the microphone. I say, God wants me to go out on a limb for him. He wants me to pray that it stops raining and the wind stops blowing long enough for us to preach the gospel. I got down on my knees. You don't think this is bragging, but I'm talking about a God who can do anything he wants. I got down on my knees and said, now, Lord, I'm on my knees out on a limb for you. If you don't do what you told me to do, I'm going to look awful stupid. And they're going to think this stuff is a bunch of joke. This is a big joke. God is my witness. My wife was there and 50 other people. Before I got up off of my knees, the wind stopped blowing and the rain stopped falling. And when the invitation was given, four old burly fishermen walked down the aisle and made Jesus Christ their Savior. You can go down there tonight and you can find Silas Dick and ask him about that and he'll tell you, I was there when it happened. I watched that young preacher go down on his knees and ask God to cause the winds and the waves, the winds and the rain to stop blowing. And when he got up off his knees, it was just calm. You know when it started raining again? For the evening. Inanimate object. You say, what does that have to do with your wife? Getting money is the second easiest thing to do from get from the Lord. Because there are people out there who he already has their heart. That have money to give. And he doesn't have to beg them to give it. You know what I told my wife that night, Brother Jay? I said, I've learned getting money for him is no problem. He said, he doesn't have to do it tonight. We need $3,000. You know what I did? I said, all right, let's bow our heads. She's on one end of the phone, 350 miles away. I'm on the other end, 350 miles away. I said, now, Lord, my wife tells me we need $3,000. Would you give me $3,000? By the beginning of the next week, there was a check in the mail for how much? The Lord's not only good, he's great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. You know what I'm trying to say to you tonight? I'm trying to tell you there is a God. There is a God. And he owns the cattle on a thousand hills and he owns the taters in them there hills. And he is not selfish for the single thing he owns. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You watch it. If you got, my daddy always tells me, a money problem is not a money problem, it's a heart problem. If your heart was right, God would give it to you in a minute. Not a heart. It's not a money problem. You don't need a job, you just need to get right with the Lord. You're not broke. You just need to get right with the Lord. Because he's not broke. And when you pray for lost people, see, remember I told you there are people out there, God's already got their heart, who has money. And he doesn't have to twist their arm and get them to give it away. He's already got their will. But you've got someone who's wayward, backslidden, lost. It takes him a little longer. It takes him a little longer because he does not go against the will of the person. He makes them willing. But he does not go against their will. That's why moms and dads pray for years for a wayward child. It's not that God can't do it. God has chosen not to go against their will. But if he can make the winds and the waves be still, if he owns the cattle on a thousand hill and all the gold and the diamonds and the silver and the jades and all that stuff, he can also take an old, troubled, wayward soul and convert it unto him and make him saved. And you just keep on praying. I know there is a God tonight because somebody's answering my prayers. You know what the point of this? It's not to slap you on the wrist, but to go home tonight and pray. It's not to entertain you, but to get you to go home tonight saying, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I serve a great, magnificent, and mighty God. And I know my Redeemer liveth. He is as real as the sunrise and the sunset. And last of all, I know there is a God because of salvation. And I'm just about done. Preacher and I were sitting at the restaurant today, and we got to talking about getting saved. How many times have you told your story about getting saved? And there's been times when it just kind of rolls off your back. Well, today it wasn't that way. I heard it in his voice as he talked about him getting saved there in Hawaii. After watching the burning hell, called his daddy, and his daddy said, "Oh, that's nice, son." He told his daughter, "He's over there, he's lonely, he went around with a bunch of nice people and they converted him, but it'll all fade away." He talked about how his daddy got saved. Talked about how he got saved and somebody showed up. Begin to stir our old cold hearts, and the tears begin to form in our eyes, and our voices begin to quiver as we talked about the times we got saved. If there is no God, will you answer me a question? How come something like that moves an old man like me? I know there is a God tonight because He can take old sinners and save them. Just take an old sinner and wash him in the blood of Jesus Christ, remove his sins as far as the east and west, put his sins in the depths of the sea, never be remembered against us no more, write our name in the book of life, and his pencil doesn't have an eraser. And after 48 years of telling the old story, every now and then my voice breaks. Thank God for saving my whole wretched soul. Only God can do that, sir. And you know that, and I know that, and you know that, and you know that. Only God can do that. AA can't do what God can do. Reformers Anonymous cannot do what God can do. Psychiatrists and psychologists cannot do what God can do. He can take and make the vilest clean. He can take and make the most lowliest reprobate in all the world and make him a staunch citizen of society just by taking his soul and washing it in his own son's blood and birthing him into the kingdom of God. Only God can do that. Down through the countless ages, the countless souls of men that have been saved down through the ages, they'll stand and testify to this moment how God, one day they met on an old dusty road or in a church somewhere, and He walked inside their soul. The Master of the universe came to live inside of me. Amen. Most snotty-nosed 8-year-old boy. You know, if salvation don't stir you like that every now and then, friends, you didn't get what I got. I'm not being ugly. Because God saves all sinners. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. True story. An old drunk, Philadelphia lawyer, wealthy man, but the booze got a hold of him. He drank his career away, drank his wealth away, drank his marriage away. Separated him from his kids and his family had to live in a poor old shack somewhere on the south side of Philadelphia because daddy wouldn't pay their way. Old drunken bum, true story. He was so depraved and so steeped in alcoholism and drunkenness that he was cleaning spittoons and sweeping floors just for a bottle of beer. One day the bar closed and the old reprobate walked the streets of Philadelphia trying to find some place that was open just so he can get him one more drink to settle his nerves. He saw this light and heard some music. He staggered down the road, walked into where the lights were, sat down, and realized immediately, this is not a bar. It was a 24-hour rescue mission. But he sat there long enough, the only man in the building, to read across the back of the auditorium in gas lights, God is love. This is not a bar. He staggered back out. 2 and 3 and 4 hours later, as he began to sober up, the indelible impression of those 3 words lifted from the pages of God's holy writ burned like a branding iron in his soul. God is love. And as he began to sober up and think about it, did God love me? an old sinner, dirt, drunken bum king. God love me? I've abandoned my wife and children. Can God love me? I've broken the hearts of my mother and father. Can God love me? So I'm going back to find out if God can love me. He went back to that place at 6 o'clock in the morning and sat down and looked at those gaslight words, God is love. One of the trustees came out who was formerly in the same state that he was. Came walking up and says, can I help you, sir? And he said, I came to see if that's true. And he said, what do you mean, is that true? He pointed to those three words, God is love. Is that true? Does God love me? And the guy proceeded to tell him how God took him and washed him, made him a Christian man, saved his soul. And he said, yes, son, God loves you. There in that center aisle, that rescue mission, that man asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and save him. They fed him a breakfast that morning, sobered up with the hope of heaven in his soul. He walked down to the barbershop where he had gone hundreds of times before when he was a wealthy, influential lawyer in the city of Philadelphia. Walked in. The barber says, what are you doing in here, Sam? I need a shave and a haircut and a bath. And I need it on credit. He said, you get out of here. I don't know what kind of angle you're working, but you get out of here. And old Sam began to cry. He says, but you don't understand. Tonight I got saved. This morning early I got saved and then invited Jesus into my heart. And he saved me. He's made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the barber said, praise the Lord, Sam. We've been praying for you. The shave and the haircut's on me and the bath. Cleaned him up, combed his hair, and shaved his old rugged face. He went down to the tailor where he had bought tailor-made suits in years gone by. He walked in. The guy immediately recognized him and said, Sam, get out of here. There's nothing in here for you to steal. I'm not here to steal anything. I need a suit of clothes. But I need it on credit. No, I don't know what angle you're working, but you get out of here. He began to cry and he says, but you don't understand. This morning about 5 o'clock, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. And I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The tailor, who was a Christian, began to cry and said, come on in here, Sam. We've been praying for your soul and began to measure him. Put a brand new suit of clothes on his body. He now walks across the town, to the far side of town, to an old rugged shack. He knocks on the door and a little ashen-faced, dirty-faced girl looks out through the dirty blinds and sees her daddy standing there and says, Mom, it's Daddy. Don't let him in. Mama, it's Daddy, don't let him in. Don't let him hit me. She went and hid behind the couch. The wife of Sam opened up the door and still had that chain lock on it. Said, go away, Sam. We've got nothing here for you to steal. What are you trying to do? He began to cry and said, but you don't understand, honey. This morning about 5 o'clock, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and he saved me. And I want you to give me another chance. She began to cry. Loosened the chain and opened up the door and said, that's exactly what we've been praying for, Sam. You know what his last name was? Sam Jones. He became one of the greatest Methodist preachers of a bygone generation who shook the South for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and hundreds of thousands of men and women walked the old sawdust trail because one day he met the Savior. Only God can do that. Only Jesus can take an old drunken like Sam Jones, save his old lost soul, and make him a respectable man of God. Amen. Only God can do that. You want to know why I know there is a God? Because of salvation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know in whom I have believed. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. I know there is a God. Intuition, creation, inspiration, supplication, and salvation. And this message tonight was not intended for any other reason. God is my witness, it was not intended for any other reason than to encourage you in your faith. There is a God. Not some cunningly devised fable. Not some myth and bedside story. But a reality more real than the universe. There is a God. His name is Jesus Christ. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that your faith has been encouraged tonight. But the attacks of the wicked one to shatter your faith and discourage you has been halted at least for a few moments tonight. As you've been reminded one more time, He's real, He's real, and He's real. So no matter how deep the valley and how dark the trial, Jesus Christ said, I'm with you always. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God loves you tonight. This great and vast and powerful, omniscient, omnipotent God loves you. You believe He loves the world, but you're having problems tonight with the fact that He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He wants to do for you what He's done for anyone else. And He can. So let the devil make you doubt. Let the devil make you question. I'm here to remind you, dear Christian friend, God loves you. He is your best friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the kinsman that is nearer than I. He loves you tonight. One of the greatest realities, and I'm of the opinion it is the greatest reality that you could ever have come to your old troubled soul, is that God loves you. To wake up some morning and realize God loves me. When the Bible says God is love, I wrote that in the margin of my Bible right there next to that verse of Scripture, God is love. And what it said to me is that there's nothing I can do to make Him love me more. And there's nothing I can do to make Him love me less. He just loves me. Get that in your heart, that this great God that is as real, more real than anything you can imagine, loves you. You know, that might be your problem tonight. You don't doubt that God loves. You just wonder whether He loves you. You might say to yourself, I understand why He loves little children, and I can understand why Brother Griffiths, He loves you. But I have a hard time why He loves me. No, He loves you as much as He loves anybody. He loves you. That ought to speak some peace to your soul tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus Christ your Savior, you can be saved tonight. His power to save is as real tonight as it has ever been. Would you be saved? Brother Griffiths, I know I'm saved. I know Jesus is my Savior and heaven is my home. I know I'm saved. If that's your testimony right now, would you slip your hand up, please? I know I'm saved. Here's my testimony of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your heart. I don't see anyone's hand not go up. You may put them down. And this is just for us Christians, hasn't it been? God's real. I think tonight would be a good night to gather on this old-fashioned altar and thank Him and praise Him for being so real and minding your life. Father in heaven, take this invitation and use it for your glory. I love you tonight, Lord. Oh, Father. And I'm going to ask you to do one more time what I've asked you to do a number of times. That which is heaviest and dearest in the heart of every one of these people here tonight, I'm going to ask you to grant it. And I'm going to ask you to meet it. And I'm going to ask you to take care of it. That which is heaviest and dearest in their heart. That which they long for You to perform in their life. I'm going to pray that, Father, You'll do it, that their faith might be made real, that their joy, as Your Word said, ask that Your joy might be full. Grant the cry of the heart and the request of the lips. In Christ's sweet name I pray. Amen.